2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek. I've got season-long Cez with me again. We're going to break down a running back position. We're going to talk about old man players and what to do with them. What's up, my man?
How are ya?
All right. I love talking fantasy football in June. So
that's right, baby. Here we go again. Number three, podcast three, right?
Absolutely. And listen, if you haven't heard the first two, they're on DFSArmy.com. We're talking about best ball strategies. We talked some of the post-NFL draft strategies and some of these players that are popping up who we'll know more about as the offseason progresses and as the training camp season begins. So really exciting stuff, and I love these. How many best ball leagues have you done so far, Cez?
This is really embarrassing, actually, or quite proud, depending on how much of a degenerate you are. But I've just tipped over the 40 mark of it. 41 best balls of all levels. That includes $1, $10, and $25 entry fees. But I've just gone to number 41.
That's what I call dedication. That is dedication.
Or addiction.
Yeah, addiction or that's what I – you know what? What makes you good at fantasy football? Part of it is just being obsessed with it. That's key. I mean, you got to be sharp, but being obsessed with things is very, very important. There's a reason I call myself the geek, because geeking out on something is obsessing over it, right? I'm a freaking Game of Thrones geek, man. I obsess over that shit. I've watched every episode about 10 times.
You know, Norm MacDonald, the great comedian, has a pretty funny quote, and he said that gambling and, you know, fantasy is the only addiction where you can actually make some money.
That's right. And fantasy even better than your traditional gambling, although DFS Army is about to launch our incredible handicapping service. Check out www.dfsarmy.com for more details. Now, let's get right into it, okay? So today we're going to talk about the running back position. Everybody's favorite. Listen, you're not winning your league if you don't get your running back spots correct. And we both know that, particularly on best ball, there's nothing more important than not just having running backs scoring for you every week, but having them put up big, consistent numbers every single week. So let's just get started, because what I like to look at are tiers. And I'm going to spit out some names, and you tell me. I'm going to kind of go by ADP a little bit. And what I want to get a sense of is where you think and where we think the market is wrong, underpricing somebody, overpricing somebody. I want to talk about some late-round sleepers, some guys that if you take maybe a little too soon, you're probably going to lose your league because they suck and people don't know it yet. Those are the types of things that I'm interested in.
So I want to know who that guy is. I want to know who the guy is that's going to lose my league, because I've developed an interesting theory that – actually, I heard an interesting theory, and I'm regurgitating it to you, that I am now drafting about 10% of players that I hate, because I'm bound to be wrong on players I like. So that means I'm bound to be right on players I hate. So I want to know who those guys are that you're talking about at some point, so I can make sure I'm drafting at least a couple of them and some of my best balls.
Those players will be revealed on this podcast. I will reveal them. But more so, remember, that theory is for a maniac who drafts 40 best ball leagues by June 1st, not for a normal person. So
what a sicko.
Only a maniac does that. All right, so let's get started at the top. I mean, consensus first pick overall, every draft, everything you're going to do, Todd Gurley. Any questions there? Like, do you have any disagreement with Todd Gurley being the clear tier of his own number one pick overall?
Well, I don't. But it's funny you say that, because I was talking to a fantasy football guy that hasn't gotten into it yet. When I say a guy, I mean a player. And I asked him, I just said, who's your number one pick this year? This was someone that I met yesterday at a basketball game, and they told me that Antonio Brown. So I agree that Todd Gurley is the number one overall pick. I agree with you. But it seems like the general fantasy football market is still not – they're still not sold on running backs going early in the draft. So I think those who know, those who listen to your podcast will agree, but the general market can still be beat out at the top of the draft.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, if you're in a league with a bunch of your knucklehead buddies from town, yeah, they're not going to do the most optimal moves. But I'm kind of approaching this from a sharp player point of view. And even just looking at the running back position, I think Todd Gurley's number one overall. If I needed to make an argument over why I like him over Bell, for example, my plain argument is just Bell just doesn't score as many tutties. He just doesn't.
And oh, I love them tutties. You got to have tutties to win a league.
Need those tutties, man. Need those tutties. And Bell is not a touchdown scorer. He gets all those other points. He has his big games. But Gurley in there, I mean, what more can you ask from a guy? The team's behind. The team's ahead. No matter what's going on, he's in the game. They're throwing to him. They're running it with him. He's the focus of his offense on what I consider to be one of the hottest up-and-coming offenses in the league with the Rams. Love him.
Would you be surprised, shocked, or could you blame someone for taking Bell at number one, though?
Yes, I would blame them. That would be making a mistake. Simple as that. There's a double whammy with Le'Veon Bell because Ben Roethlisberger, at this point in his career, is very injury prone, and we've seen that Bell doesn't do. I mean, that whole team just doesn't score as much with Big Ben on the shelf. So I think there's higher risk of not so much bust, but like mediocrity for longer stretches of time with Bell. And again, we're talking on the fringes. Listen, I'm very happy to have Le'Veon Bell on my team this season. Let's not go crazy. But speaking of that, but yes, I would blame someone. I think anybody who didn't take Todd Gurley number one overall already messed up their draft and messed up the fact that they got the number one overall pick. But let's talk about the next three, because I believe these three are in, I'm going to call them tier two.
Bell, so you have Gurley in a tier all by himself.
Yes, I'm putting Gurley in his own tier.
See, in my rankings, my running back rankings that should come out tomorrow or the day after, today's June 12th, I have Gurley and Bell as tier one, and then there's tier two. But that's, you know, you're splitting hairs at that point. So
it's hard. It's splitting hairs. I'm personally, and by the way, DFSArmy.com VIPs will have access to season long says rankings all throughout the off season, throughout, you know, ahead of your draft, and you're gonna crush your drafts with these rankings. But go to DFSArmy.com to sign up. But all right, so yeah, I have Gurley in his own tier, and then I'm going to put, for me, I have Bell, David Johnson, and Zeke Elliott
together. In a PPR league, though, we're talking PPR since most of your listeners use PPR formats, you still put Zeke in that tier, or is he just at the bottom of that strong tier?
I put him right in there. I'm ignoring the PPR scoring. Zeke Elliott puts up numbers, and I don't care if it's PPR or not. You know, I play a lot of FanDuel and DraftKings. That's my thing. And Elliott is a monster on those sites. When he's in the game, he's just putting up numbers. And he scores all the touchdowns for his team. That's really the difference. I mean, who are they throwing to? He's scoring the touchdowns for his team, which is huge. So, yeah, I love Zeke Elliott. I think you can make an argument for Elliott over David Johnson ahead of him. I think that's where we can maybe have a discussion here. Like, I think Bell is pretty well consensus number two. But who do you like at number three? Like, is that Zeke Elliott or is that David Johnson for you?
Well, think back to last year at this time. David Johnson was the consensus number one. It wasn't even a discussion. What's changed? He's had a year off. His injury was a wrist injury, not a lower body injury, nothing that affects his ankle, his knee. I know the offense it looks ugly on paper, but they did draft Rosen, the most NFL-ready QB. Of all the rookies, Sam Bradford is going to start out the year, maybe, if he doesn't get beat out in camp. I still like David Johnson at number three. I mean, he was the overall number one consensus RB, number one player in fantasy going into last year. So I still think that it's just a matter of what have we seen lately. I think those who draft David Johnson and get him anytime after three have gotten themselves the best value of the first round.
All right, let me throw something crazy at you then. What about Johnson over Bell?
So I think with David Johnson, you asked me about where he would go. He was the number one overall player last year. We talked a little bit about that on a previous podcast. What's really changed? Not much. The fact that he had a wrist injury, not a lower body injury, really just makes him as solidified as that number three, and he could even be as high as number one or two for me. Zeke Elliott went number one overall in a non-PPR draft the other day. It didn't even bother me. I mean, this is a guy that scores touchdowns. Any one of these top four guys, it would not surprise me if they went number one in any draft format.
It does upset me that Zeke Elliott went number one overall in a non-PPR format, and I believe that person was a Cowboys fan. But outside of that, I totally agree with what you're saying right now. And I could see David Johnson number two overall. I have no problem with it. And I actually think, and we, you know, it's funny, we have that initial idea in our head, like, the Cardinals offense, But then if you think about it, listen, that ugh sound comes from last year's offense where they had no one at quarterback. No one. Now they've got Sam Bradford. Okay, I'm not a believer in Sam Bradford, but, you know, if his knee is miraculously healed, okay, I don't believe that. But if it happens, he's perfectly competent. Looks fantastic in the first game last season for the Vikings before he hurts the knee.
Also, remember, Josh Rosen, the rookie quarterback that they drafted, was considered the most NFL-ready QB. So should he have to get under center in week one? I mean, that's a guy that is fearless, that could literally toss the rock, those short, easy completion passes to David Johnson. Remember, David Johnson had 13 PPR points in the first half before he got injured in week one. He was on his way to a 30-point monster. David Johnson, to me, is still a top three guy that can go in any of the one, two, or three positions.
I'm absolutely on board. And I was going to get to the point where I like Rosen. I'm a Rosen fan. I was kind of interested in Rosen at pick number three for the Jets, and I certainly think the Bills messed up when they passed on him. All right, so let's look at tier two. Now, I want to just make sure we're in a consensus here. Or we're going to call – I call it tier three, but let's call this tier two. You've got Kamara, Hunt, Barkley, and Fournette. Would you include – I'm going to say no, but would you include a Dalvin Cook in that tier?
No, and the simple reason is because he was injured. I think it was week six. If I'm wrong, don't start tweeting me and telling me I was week five or whatever it was. But it was about in the first 25% to 30% of the season. There's a little bit of – he's a back of the first round type of guy. He's an early second round guy. If he blows up and is the number one overall fantasy player, I won't be surprised. But in the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range, I'm passing on him for those other running backs that you just mentioned. I think the real decision point comes at Melvin Gordon and Dalvin Cook, but we'll talk about that in a moment, I'm sure.
Well, this is what I want to get to. So if we look at this tier, I'm going to give you my order, right? But everybody, you know, when you look at tiers, I think some of these orders are not that important. Like, you know, you might like this one, I like that one. For me, I'm going Saquon Barkley right after Zeke Elliott, and I know that's controversial. Just what I'm doing. I like Barkley, number five overall, ahead of Hunt, Kamara, and Fournette. Oddly, and I know this is unpopular, I think I'd go Barkley, Hunt, Kamara, Fournette in that order.
Have you done it? By the way, you asked me how many best balls I've done. How many have you done?
I'm probably about 10 or 12 in.
Have you had the fifth overall pick yet?
No, I keep winding up in the second half, but I have gotten – I think I do have Barkley in one of my teams. I don't have – and I got Fournette very late, like 9th or 10th or 11th in one of them. But almost all of my best balls, for some reason, I keep getting like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I have Dalvin Cook on almost every team that I have right now.
Well, question for you, Geek, is that if you're at pick 5 – and those four running backs are off the board, Gurley, Bell, David Johnson, and Zeke, and you're at pick five. In a PPR three receiver plus a flex draft, are you taking Barkley or are you taking one of the receivers at that point at pick five?
I'm taking Barkley over my number one receiver, which is DeAndre Hopkins. So
you would take an unproven rookie with given a ton of upside over what is going to be a locked and loaded guy in a three receiver PPR league.
Now I'm talking best ball. I don't know that I would. Because I know I have a theorem in best ball that I want to have three stud running backs and they go really fast. And in best ball leagues, I treat it a little differently because I know I can load up on wide receivers late that will give me points. Even if they're not stud points, I know, like, even in the 15th, 16th, 17th round, I'm picking up names that will be playing. Whereas if I miss the first couple of stud running backs, the guys I'm taking later are not the types that could ever dream of getting you 22 points in a single game. So whereas I believe like Marquise Lee in the sixth round might get me 20 points one week, or some later receiver might do that, I don't think the late running backs have almost any shot of any sort of consistent production, and I can just load up. So I might treat a standard season-long league differently, and I'd like the Hopkins probably right past Elliott in my season-long league, standard, you know, with that style. But in a best ball format, and I guess we should probably specify that, but in best ball, and we're really just talking about running backs, but in a best ball format, I'm taking running backs well ahead of these wide receivers just because I can load up on medium-level wide receivers very late that I think will give me the 10 or 12. I have a whole theory, a math theory about best ball, about getting 20 points from my quarterback run and two running backs every single week, and that gets me to, you know, 900 of the 1,800 points I need to win the league. Because I did go back to last year's best balls, and the winning score was about 1,800. And so if I can get 900 points out of my first three picks, then I have all these other picks to get me the other 900 I need to win the league. So I don't actually need 20 points a week for my wide receiver spots. 15-ish would be spectacular. But that's just looking at the math from last year.
I just want to jump in. And what's an important distinction also is that in best ball, the team that you draft is the team that you have for the rest of the year. Whereas in season long, taking a wide receiver, a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, say at number five, you can pick up guys, bid on fab, use your waiver priority pick to pick up these backup running backs, where you cannot do that in a best ball draft. So I think your point is well taken that you want to get running backs that have job security and less injury projection or vulnerability, and then you could just pick up the wide receivers. So I think that's a smart move for best ball. But it should be – the distinction should be that in season long where you could add and drop guys that you haven't even heard of yet, that it's probably better off taking the guys that are more solid at the wide receiver position.
100%. You need explosive scores to win your season-long league. And I don't think I've ever had a season of fantasy football where I haven't been able to pick up a starting running back off of waivers at some point over the course of the season. I don't ever remember a scenario where that didn't happen. But obviously in best ball, you can't really do that. So, all right, so let's continue with these tiers, though. So the reason I like Saquon Barkley ahead of Kamara, ahead of Kareem Hunt, and ahead of Leonard Fournette is this. We've seen Kamara has to deal with Ingram at some point during the year, and they do go back and forth a little bit with the touches, and they tend not to give Kamara more than his 12 or 15. He's an explosive player, but he does have to share... the backfield. Kareem Hunt, we've seen that Andy Reid is not reliable for leaning on his workhorse running back. That is just a thing. I promise you, Hunt, there was a period last season where we were calling Hunt cunt.
Dirty word.
Yes, a very dirty word, because he went like 6-7 weeks in a row after his, you know, first 2 weeks of just doing crap. And there was no good reason. Like 10 carries, and Reed would talk about how, well, I really have to make an effort to get him the ball. Now, if it was a different coach, and I like that it's a different quarterback, but I don't trust Andy Reed enough to lean on his workhorse running back the way that I know the Giants will lean on Saquon Barkley. I expect Barkley to get 22. I expect Barkley to have a Zeke Elliott-type rookie year, if that makes sense.
Well, Kareem Hunt, I mean, he's just falling in these best ball drafts. I mean, I actually saw him the other day fall out of round one.
Really?
Yeah, people are hating Kareem Hunt.
He's good.
In an important league of mine, I drafted him in the fourth round. It was when he was moving on up last year, and I have the option to keep him in the second round, and I thought that was going to be an amazing value. It now seems like that it just might be par for the course. I mean, I'm going to keep him as a second rounder because I still see him as a top seven, top eight fantasy pick, but I think the market is down on Kareem Hunt. I'm still high on him. I think the unknown of Barkley is intriguing to a lot of people. I think he projects well. But let me ask you a question. What's the percentage chance that Barkley – let's just not even say his average. What's the percentage chance that Barkley's an absolute bust? Give me that percentage.
5%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you put him as a lock.
Yeah, I don't see any chance of Barkley busting. Not because – remember, the number one indicator of fantasy success – is opportunity at the running back position. And I know, outside of an injury, which we throw out, listen, shit happens. Outside of that, this guy is going to get 20-plus touches per game with the Giants. They did not draft this guy because they didn't want to use him. They understand. The Giants as a team have been desperate for a running back, and their whole offense has looked terrible because they haven't had one. So they're absolutely going to lean on this guy. Could the whole Giants offense bust again and be crap? Things can happen, and that's where I'd even give it that 5% chance, because I think he's going to get lots of opportunities. I don't see any situation where Barkley's not getting 20 touches a game, even if the Giants offense implodes and he doesn't do that much with it. But I don't see that happening. I think with Odell Beckham back, I think they have a threat of Evan Ingram. I just think that offense looks so much better this year. And I'm normally not one to believe that offense has changed from year to year, but the personnel – just adding Odell Beckham and Hunt to a team, it's too much.
Let's remember also, they have a new head coach. Pat Shermer, who came over from the Vikings, made Case Keenum relevant. So I'm wondering
even
if
better.
He could actually – yeah. So I'm saying is that he seems like one of those guys that like a Doug Peterson that can make an offense go. I think that the sharper guys in the fantasy industry are noticing now that it's system that makes an NFL offense go, not necessarily the players. You're finding the players to fit the system. And system with Pat Shermer seems to be a good fit. There's a high percentage chance that Barkley succeeds. But I'm just wondering, you know, personally, Geek and I are in a dynasty league where I forfeited the number one pick. So I'm kind of begrudgingly hoping Barkley fails, but
yeah.
Obviously I know he's going to succeed. So that's a story for another day.
Wishful thinking, but it's not going to happen. All right. So and then Fournette, and then so for me this tier would go Barkley right after Zeke. I'm going to say Fournette, Kamara, Hunt, and Hunt being
I have Kamara a little hot. I have Kamara a little bit higher because he catches a lot of passes. The guy literally looks like a Walter Payton type of back out there. I know people don't think the efficiency could hold, but I mean, I have Kamara number three or four. You're splitting hairs at this point.
Yeah, it's just it's not how I'm going to play him. He's I need more consistency. And he needs to break big plays a lot of times to score. He's not getting the handoff at the one-yard line. And that's a problem for me. But I totally get Kamara. I mean, he's a beast. And he's got that four-week period without Ingram in there. All right, let's move on to the next tier because it gets a little sketchy from here. And it really starts to – it gets hairy here. Okay, I can almost not even call it tiers. So I'm going to say – I'm looking at names like Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook, LeSean McCoy, Jerick McKinnon in this sort of next little area. I mean, who do you like here with like a tier three group, your late first round, your early second round picks? And how do you feel about like a Christian McCaffrey? Does he belong with some of these other names?
Christian McCaffrey has been as high as RB8. On a lot of expert drafts, and he's fallen out of the second round on a few drafts. I think with the signing of C.J. Anderson, people are scared off, especially since Cam Newton acts as a goal line back. When they get on the two-yard line, they don't hand it off. Sometimes they just sneak it in. But I see Christian McCaffrey as a rich man's Duke Johnson. If you own Duke Johnson last year, you understand what I'm talking about. He finished as RB12 in PPR, which makes him an RB1 for fantasy. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be just fine. He's an underrated between the tackles runner. The guy's going to catch a shit ton of passes. I'm still high on Christian McCaffrey. I wouldn't, if I'm picking on the 12, 13 turn, he's going to be one of my picks.
All right, let's play a fun game because I like this. I like this. I'm lower on McCaffrey than you are. Let's talk. This is a full PPR league, okay? Even half, but let's call it a full PPR league. Kareem Hunt is off the board. Dalvin Cook goes next. Jerick McKinnon, LeSean McCoy, gone. Now we're looking at Melvin Gordon, Jordan Howard, Devontae Freeman, McCaffrey, Joe Mixon types. So I'm going to play a little McCaffrey or Freeman game with you. Or McCaffrey or. Okay, so McCaffrey or Freeman.
It's. I understand what you're saying. It's
make
close,
a call.
But
make a call.
In a PPR, it's McCaffrey. The health is there. The youth is there. The catches are there. The floor is there. I'm very happy taking McCaffrey over Freeman.
McCaffrey or Jordan Howard?
McCaffrey, it's not even close. I think that Matt Nagy's offense in Chicago is going to favor the pass, and I think Jordan Howard is a third-round pick at this point.
McCaffrey or LeSean McCoy?
I'm kicking McCoy down the board a little bit. I think that they trade him at some point during the season. I think the Buffalo offense is going to stink. I'm very happy to get McCoy at the end of the second round, but McCaffrey's a high second round pick.
You're taking McCaffrey, okay. All right, McCaffrey or Melvin Gordon?
There's a decision point for you.
That's your decision point. Okay.
Yep. I think that this is a hard one. I'll probably click Melvin Gordon, but I'll feel a little bit disgusting about it.
There it is. All right, so I'm just going to give my two cents on it. Is I'm definitely lower on Christian McCaffrey than you are. I just don't like his lack of touchdowns, and that bothers me. I want a touchdown scorer. So I think he can – and I generally don't like to have too much exposure to the Panthers because I find them to be an inefficient offense as a whole. But, you know, it's all, again, splitting hairs here. So – you're a little higher on him than I probably am, but I'm not in love with this entire part of the running back draft, which is why I'm super interested in getting one of those top eight or nine guys, because I don't love this whole secondary area. There are other areas where I start to like the position more. So let's continue. So we've pretty much gone over all the way, I'm going to call it, like all the way down to the McKinnon, Joe Mixon area. Oh, McCaffrey or Mixon? You said Mixon or McCaffrey?
In PPR, McCaffrey. In standard, a half PPR, Joe Mixon.
All right, let's get on to guys who will lose you your league if you take them where they're being drafted. Now, I'm looking at – I can't even believe this. I need to look at some other – wait, let me – I'm switching over to some different numbers here because I'm seeing Derrick Henry – as RB17 on the ADP list here from Fantasy Pros. I do not like this. Jay Ajayi, 21. I mean, Deion Lewis, 22. Even Kenyon Drake. I mean, to me, these are guys that are going, if you take them, you're going to lose your league. What is
Who do you like? Who do you like better than those guys? I'll tell you, I definitely
have people I like better. I'll take Alex Collins over any one of those guys.
You've come around on Alex Collins. Normally, you're an Alex Collins hater, but now I told you in the beginning of the year, and we talked through it a little bit, that Alex Collins is good.
He's got the happy feet, man. I like that stuff.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's decisive. He runs through the holes. He scores touchdowns. He's an angry, low runner. he didn't get cock-blocked during the draft from a high draft pick. They didn't sign anybody. I was worried about that. I was worried that DeMarco Murray might sign in Baltimore. I'm glad he didn't.
I'm not of the mind, by the way, that Alex Collins has a lock on the position or that he's money in the bank. I'm not. But we're talking about guys who I know for a fact will not produce. So if you give me – I have definitive – I know these guys will not produce. If you're talking about Jay Ajayi, I know he won't produce. I know it. He will be overdrafted, and he won't produce.
You asked me about an either-or. I have an either-or for you in PPR, full PPR. You got Alex Collins or the Patriots' first-round rookie, Sonny Michel.
Yeah, see, that's a tough one. That is super close for me, and I'm going to go with they're right there. They're right there. I'll tell you who I will take above both of them is Rashad Penny from Seattle. But if I have to make a choice between Sonny Michel and Alex Collins, I think I'm going Sonny Michel. But
all right,
close.
Well, then I have one more. So you're in the fourth round. You need a running back. You have one runner. You have two receivers. And you're deciding between Sonny Michel and Mark Ingram, who's suspended for the first four games. Who are you taking?
There I'm taking Sonny Michel.
Definitely. All right, that's fair. So you're real low on Ingram like I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind taking him late, but I want to bargain for a guy who's not going to play the first 4 weeks and then is going to be in a timeshare inconsistent after that. You know, he's not worth – again, I'm taking Rashad Penny above all of those guys. I'm taking Darius Geis above those guys. I'm taking Darius Geis above Ajayi, Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis is going to lose people their league. Ajayi, if you have him starting, you're probably not going to win. Carlos Hyde, big mistake if you have this guy starting on your team.
Well, Hyde is going in like the eighth round right now. Hyde has been – it's been all over the news feeds that Carlos Hyde's the starting running back. Nick Chubb needs to learn how to pass protect. He needs to prove that he's the guy that – he was before the major injury in college. I mean, Carlos Hyde's a starting running back. People always undervalue Carlos Hyde. He might be a guy that ends up winning you leagues in the eighth or ninth round.
I'm more of the mind, and I don't mind taking him eighth or ninth. That's the right place to take a player like that. But I'm of the mind that he's going to be part of a three-headed disaster between him, Duke Johnson, and Chubb. And I just think there's going to be one of these scenarios like the Eagles where, sure, some of them will have good games sometimes, but he's not the guy that you want consistently starting for your team. I need consistency from the position, or else I'm really sitting here kind of like hoping and praying that, you know, some luck will happen. And this is the week that Wendell Smallwood accidentally catches a touchdown, you know, from 60 yards out. Or this is the week that, you know, Jay Ajayi gets two touchdowns on the goal line, even though Clement and two other players got a ton of touches, you know, turned 10 touches into a big score. I don't like that. I need volume for my running backs. And what I'm even trying to do late in the draft is look for guys who have a chance at producing some volume if something happens. And these three-headed beasts, those are the worst. You know, those are the worst scenarios. And Duke Johnson, sure, he'll be a flex play, but I mean, you know, or an emergency starter, but like, he's not exactly the guy you're super crazy about starting week to week. I mean, he's just not. You want a little more volume than that. All right.
I got a question for you on one particular running back. I've seen him go as high as round 5 and as low as round 9 in the last 2 weeks. I'm talking the last 2 weeks on MFL. It's 100 drafts and Lamar Miller.
Oh, man.
Where do you stand on Lamar Miller? What round should he go in? Where would you take him? It's a player that nobody likes, but at some point, everybody has a value. Where do you like Lamar Miller?
I have thought a lot about Lamar Miller. I've had him for the last 2 years on various fantasy teams, so I know what he produces. You know, the offense he's in is exciting. It's an exciting offense. It's high scoring. But Lamar Miller, who I like to call Lamar Meh-ler, because he's meh. I think he's got to be, you know, not in the top 24. For me, he's outside of the top 24. He's going, all right, when I look at a player like this, so who am I taking above him? I'm going to take him above Marlon Mack and Royce Freeman. I'm taking Miller. I'm taking him ahead of Royce Freeman. I'm taking him ahead, hell yeah, Marlon Mack. I'm probably taking him ahead of Marshawn Lynch. I'm not a big Marshawn Lynch guy.
Here's his ADP over the last 2 weeks. This is who's going. I'm going to give you either or. Ronald Jones, the rookie on Tampa Bay, or Lamar Miller?
Miller.
Okay. I already know where you stand on this one, but Deion Lewis or Lamar Miller?
Miller.
Still over Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I'm not down with Deion Lewis at all.
All right. Cross-positional. You have two runners. You have two running backs, Marvin Jones or Lamar Miller?
Probably Marvin Jones. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you one more. You're in the sixth round. Lamar Miller or Evan Ingram?
Evan Ingram, definitely. And the reason I say definitely, and this is why Lamar Miller probably doesn't end up on any of my teams. The reason I say definitely is I would much rather have a top five tight end who is one of the few tight ends who is probably likely to give me consistent numbers week to week over a running back who I think has a chance of being replaced this season by, you know, other players on his team because his performance just hasn't been great. He certainly has a chance of having a good year too. And maybe it's been a fluke that he just in the last 2 years has not been able to establish himself as a workhorse running back outside of like a couple of good games. It's really weird with him, but you know, he's a mysterious player. I just don't want to waste early draft capital on him. All right. I have a thought. Let's talk about some, and I have a few of these, some guys you can get really late in your drafts, because most of, like, I'm going to give you some other names that will ruin your draft here real quick, like Nick Chubb, Rex Burkhead, guys that are going to, basically, if you take these guys, like a Burkhead is going way too high. People are drafting him as a startable player. I don't know why.
In best ball or in season long?
No, in season long, generally. I mean, best ball, you know, whatever. As long as he's late enough, it's fine. He's going to get touches. But I'm gonna give you a couple names late, and especially one of my favorites that appears on every single team that I have so far. And that's always exciting when a guy's on every one of your teams. I have Isaiah Crowell on every best ball league that I've drafted. Every
damn
single
Jet
one.
Fans. You Jet fans, you never say die, man. It's boring pick for a boring team.
I get that boring pick. Sam Darnold's on all my teams as well, by the way. But every one of them. He's on all of them. But here's my thought with Isaiah Crowell. As a Jets fan, I know this. They don't have anybody else who's the starting running back. He's the guy. I don't understand why he's going as RB40. Why is that happening? This guy is the starting running back for a team that's going to lean on the run. People are stupid for letting him fall in best ball. He's on every one of my teams. And then if I can, I'll back him up with Powell or the other Jets running back. But they didn't get anyone else.
All right, here we go with either or again. PPR, Isaiah Crowell, Aaron Jones on Green Bay.
Crowell. Definitely.
Isaiah Crowell or Marshawn Lynch?
Crowell, absolutely. Without question.
I got two more for you. Isaiah Crowell or Marlon Mack?
That is a tough one.
You're on the clock.
I'm going to take – oh, man. I've made that decision. I'm able to get Mack Crowell a round after Mack right now. So I've had a lot of the two of them.
In a vacuum.
I'm taking Crowell over Mack.
Okay. Seventh round, Isaiah Crowell, Deshaun Watson.
In a best ball league, I'm taking Crowell. In fantasy league, I'm taking Deshaun Watson because he does not belong in the seventh round. He's too good.
All right. And then I got one more for you. I got Isaiah Crowell or Tariq Cohen. PPR.
Cohen over Crowell in PPR.
You know, I saw Cohen go in the fourth round the other day.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But I mean, he belongs as a – Tariq Cohen is the guy you should be taking if you're in a regular league as your flex starter. You know, so you've got two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end. That's five, six. So in round seven, you know, you can get like a Cohen for your your flex spot. I think he'll be fine there. The reason I like Kroll, like I said, I don't think he's going to be a high scorer, but I do think he's going to get a lot of touches on a team that's going to lean on the run. I don't think it's a team that's going to score a lot. And I'm going to leave my other sleeper. I don't know if it's a sleeper. But the guy you can get super late. And I like Marlon Mack, too. By the way, I have a lot of exposure to him. Not much competition for touches on that team. I don't believe that Nyheim Hines is true competition for Marlon Mack. And so, you know, but he's also not an established starter, which is why it's
News just came out that Nyheim Hines is going to operate as the kick returner, especially early in the season, probably for year one. So I know that our Nyheim Hines love in our previous pods. Let's just channel that and table it till next year.
I'm agreeing.
But I think he's going to be a sick kick returner. I'm predicting 4 return touchdowns this year.
I'm sure he's a sparkling player. And maybe he'll pick up a Tariq Cohen-type role for his team. But, you know, Marlon Mack's a guy who was catching passes out of the backfield and playing that kind of a role, too. So I don't know that, you know, it seems almost like Mack will be more of the all-purpose guy, but they may bring in another guy for the short-yarded situations, which will render, you know, all of them pretty well useless. And I'm not a believer that Andrew Luck is going to play at all. So that doesn't help my
love. Today on NFL Network, I was watching, Andrew Luck was throwing a football around. So it was the first time in, I don't know, 500 years he was actually throwing a football.
I mean, today, he's playing toss. He's playing toss for the first time in June. You know, I'm very skeptical of his ability to bounce back from this level of an injury. So I don't trust that team to be high scoring at all. So it's not an offense that I want any part of. And if this was a wide receiver based discussion, I would have been warning everybody to stay away from T.Y. Hilton. But we're not having that chat today. All right, my last guy that I'm interested in is Devontae Booker, the forgotten man in Denver. And the reason I like Booker is, listen, this Hoyce Freeman character, I get it. He's a rookie. He's got all the buzz. But meanwhile, Devontae Booker was a pretty high. And now, he failed last year. I don't trust him. But if I'm talking about the 10th, 11th round and throwing an extra running back on my team, I don't mind Devontae Booker. I don't mind Ty Montgomery. Those kind of names. Really late in the draft. Really late in the draft. Go ahead.
In 41 best ball drafts, I have 0 shares of Booker. Now, according to my original theory of owning 10% of guys that you hate, I probably should. But it's probably because I have a predisposition for the 7th round pick last year, D'Angelo Henderson. I know it's a disgusting pick. And I just, you know, I believe in Freeman. We've talked about that on other podcasts. I'm not a believer in Booker. It's a guy that I have 0% exposure to. But listen, I've been wrong before. Montgomery, I like. Booker, I'm not sure. I don't see it. Convince me right now. What's the case for Devontae Booker?
I just, you know, I have this memory of a couple years, about 3 years ago. And I'm going to try to remember all the Denver running back names going into the season. But I believe it was C.J. Anderson. There was a guy, Noshon Marino. And, man, if I can't remember the third one. But there were 3 guys. And everybody was trying to guess who was going to be the starter going into the season. And it was Noshon Marino. And it was, I can't even remember who the other guy was. But in the end, it was like the third guy that no one guessed, and he was available super late in drafts. And I was like, it's not going to be him. And in the end, that guy, it might have been C.J. Anderson, who was like the late. Who was the other running back for that? It was Noshon Marino, C.J. I don't remember. The point was, with Denver, you never know. That's just what I'm coming back to. And I just want the mystery as of right now, this might change as the offseason progresses. But I think it's too mysterious to leave Devontae Booker on the board, let's say in round 12, 13, 15, especially in a best ball league where, you know, let's hope for a miracle. Or one of these other guys gets hurt, and all of a sudden this guy is the starter. Now, I get it. Booker looked like crap when he played. He did not represent. But they had, an inferior offense at that time. I think the Denver offense will be a little bit better. It was horrible. And I'm not convinced that Hoyce Freeman is going to definitely be the guy. I don't know. I think people are hoping, and they're bidding him up even to, you know, this eighth round or the seventh round, and, you know, and taking a flyer. But I'll throw another one at you. With the three Green Bay guys, Aaron Jones, you've got Ty Montgomery, who we know is more of a gimmick player, and Jamal Williams. Like, who's going to be the guy? Maybe it's none of them. I don't know. I mean, who do you favor from that group? Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery.
So what's great is that you don't have to take any of them until the seventh round, and that's usually your third running back. If you've waited forever, it's your second. But I think in a PPR league, Aaron Jones is going to have some crazy games. I really love Aaron Jones. Jamal Williams brought you home last year. The guy that I competed against in my home league owned Jamal Williams, and he just busted loose in the fantasy playoffs. Both of those guys are going to be great. Both of those guys are going to have up weeks, down weeks. They're not consistent guys, but both of those players are going to be viable fantasy starters. I think Ty Montgomery is going to fade down a little bit, be more of a slot receiver, a relief running back. If injury strikes, he'll surely be a guy that you can play. But I think that in the seventh round and later, Williams and Aaron Jones are both guys that I'm happy to have on my fantasy squad.
But we're putting them on the bench. Like, are you comfortable starting either one of these guys week one?
Sure. I mean, not like confident, but I'm like, if my flex in a deeper league, which you and I both play in, these enormous crazy leagues where there's multiple starters and 12 to 14 teams, sure. But in a standard 12-team league where it's your home league, of course I want him as my bench guy.
Crowell or either of those two?
Either of those two, and I know that upsets you.
No, listen, I like disagreement, man. That's how you put your money where your mouth is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
I've taken Jamal Williams as high as the sixth round, but it's also an Aaron Rodgers offense versus a who knows who the quarterback is offense, and I can be proven wrong. And I like Crowell, and I don't think I think he's a fine eighth round pick. But I just think in a Green Bay offense, those two running backs, they have more of a chance to succeed. Right. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, my question for you, Geek, is the tight end. What the hell are you doing with Tyler Eifert and Jordan Reed? The guys that have been sick when they're on the field, that went in the third round, that are now injury guys, ninth round guys, 12th round guys. What are you doing with Eifert and Reed? Are you drafting them this year?
I mean, I haven't drafted either of them. I definitely don't like them in best ball leagues where durability is important to me, more so than in season-long leagues. But if they fall far enough, but I believe Eifert is not a player that can make it through a season. Simply, just he can't. He's too often injured. And I don't think he has the ability to not be that way. You can only burn me so many times. With Reed, there are a lot of problems with that guy, including concussion issues that weren't even the cause of his inability to play last year. So, yeah, both of those guys have massive red flags, and they deserve to fall to where they have. And they're basically, you know, prayers at this point. They're not somebody who can be considered top-notch tight ends because it's just a prayer that they could make it through a season.
So what round are you taking them in? If you're in the 10th round and Eifert and Reed are on the board and you haven't drafted a tight end yet, you've loaded up on runners, on wide receivers, you even have Evan Ingram, you might even have your first QB.
I'm taking them after George Kittle.
All right. Well, you'll get them then at that round point because they're going, Kittle's actually – Kittle is a guy that I'm real high on, so I agree with you there.
I'm just going to give you my – like, I didn't know we were jumping to tight ends, but
– I love tight ends. I love them.
I mean, Kyle Rudolph off the board. Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham off the board. Trey Burton, George Kittle. Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert in that order. Well, Jared Cook, Vance McDonald. That's my order.
I mean, that's a great order. I can't argue with that order. But how, what number do you have Kittle at? Where do you have, is he a top 10, top 12, or top 15 for you?
Yeah, for me, George Kittle, I'm probably taking him ahead of Trey Burton. So he'd probably be like number 9 overall for me.
You know what? Run down the top 10 for me, and you're just off the top of your head.
Top 10 for me at tight end.
In order.
I'm going to go Gronk first because Gronk's my dude, right? He's just my dude.
Over you, you don't have Kelce over him at this point?
No, I'm a Gronk fan. I'm like a fanboy of Gronk. I'm almost like a little 12-year-old girl excited by a boy band when I see Gronk. It's weird. But
fair enough.
Yeah. Right, so like I'm going to just that's my fanboy. I could see somebody taking Kelce. I actually like Ertz and Kelce the same. I'm going to take Ertz ahead of Kelce. I'm going to go Kelce number 3, mainly because he's got a new quarterback and there's a little mystery there.
All right, so we agree those are the 1, 2, and 3. That's tier 1.
I think that's consensus without question. Moving on to Evan Ingram is probably number 4 overall for me. I'd go then Greg Olsen. And then it gets a little hairy. I do like Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, Delanie Walker, Kittle, and Burton.
Okay, stop right there. So I think we agree that the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, when you talked about Delanie Walker and Rudolph are the solid guys. So then you have Burton and Kittle as the upside guys.
By the way, I think Rudolph can surprise because Cousins is really a quarterback that likes to throw to the tight end position. So I think Rudolph will do better this year than his historical, you know, performances have shown.
You've told me we're going to do a true tight end podcast where we just focus
on...
Yeah,
we shouldn't get too deep into this because people are looking
But I mean, this is the position I love because this is the position where, you know, it's in a lot of leagues that I do, we do two tight end leagues because we get down and dirty into the grime here. But how about David Njoku? Do you like him on Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the mix. I don't know who's the quarterback for Cleveland, and so I don't really trust a whole lot of what's going on there. But I like Njoku, for example, a little bit more than – I like Jared Cook over Njoku, but I like Njoku a little bit more than like names like Cameron Brate or Austin Seferian Jenkins or Clay or those types of guys. But, I mean, we're digging deep.
Yeah, I know. We won't get into this right now. Yeah. I know.
Let's jump back over.
I love this stuff, though. It's hard to resist.
Yes.
Hard to resist.
All right, I'm going to throw one at you now. We're going back to running back.
Okay, running back.
Where the money is made. So we've gone over a lot of these different tiers. Who – give me – and I kind of burned you because I threw out a couple of mine already. But who are some of the late picks? Some of the guys, you know, in the 10th round plus – that you're kind of trying to stash on your bench and with the hope and a prayer that maybe, possibly, this guy can emerge as something usable over the course of the season. Like, who are some sleepers that we maybe haven't mentioned yet that you're trying to target late in your draft? And it could even be pretty deep sleepers if need be.
All right. You're going to hate me for this. But I'm talking late round. I'm talking guys that could emerge or guys that we should be picking up on the waiver wire at some point. And the first guy is Doug Martin. I know it's gross. I know it's disgusting. Listen, I don't even like it. But John Gruden likes the guy. And I'm not sure he's thrilled with the way Marshawn Lynch is. Let's just call it that. And he's a big rah-rah guy for Doug Martin, and we agreed opportunity. I hate the guy, but I think that he will be a viable fantasy football player at some point on an improved Raiders offense with a throwback coach.
Okay.
Another guy that I know you hate, I know I hate, but I don't believe in LeSean McCoy's health to last a whole season entering into age 31 season. So I got to say Chris Ivory.
Oh,
I know he's the backup running back on the Bills. At some point, he actually might be fantasy relevant. Now, you asked me to dig deep.
I know. That's the kind of guy that I'm talking about. You're right. LeSean McCoy, old, gets hurt all the time, here's his backup.
I mean, it's disgusting. But he does have relevant fantasy weeks. Now, I'll give you one sexy one, since I know that this is what you're looking for. Now, Kalen Ballage, who the Miami Dolphins drafted, is a really great running back. He is running behind Kenyon Drake and an 80-year-old Frank Gore. I think at some point, Kalen Ballage, who can catch passes and run the rock and is a really dynamic runner, should be fantasy viable and will be on the fantasy radar next year. Kalen Ballage is a guy I like deep in your drafts.
Part of the thing I'm looking for here are also guys who, like, one thing happens and their opportunity could present itself, right? Like, an injury happens. And that's why at this point in the draft or super late, that's what I'm looking for. I don't expect a guy who's going to be starting day one, but, like, oh, the starter gets injured, give me a really great backup in a situation where they're going to get some volume. So I'm gonna actually go back to a guy that you mentioned before, and hey, why not take a shot with D'Angelo Henderson, the third guy for Denver? I'm cool with that. So I'm gonna throw that name out there. A name you and I have talked about in the past, Rod Smith, just as a PPR asset. You know, he was the man. He looked really good last season, late in the season, filling in for Zeke Elliott, and you know what? They might still roll out Smith in some third down back type situations. And one other one I'm going to throw out there, really, really deep dive in here. I'm going to sound like such a Jets homer, but Elijah McGuire. Why not?
No, I agree with that. I think Elijah McGuire is an underrated asset. He's no better, no worse than a league average runner. And we know in the NFL, opportunity is king. You've drilled that to your listeners. And if Elijah McGuire gets 17 carries, the guy can break one. He's a very capable NFL runner. Let me ask you a question. Is Peyton Barber a disgusting pick at the end of your draft that could actually yield results?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty gross. I don't like Peyton Barber here. Certainly, yeah, I mean, if the rookie gets hurt, because Barber's going to be in the mix, but Barber didn't. My problem with a player like Peyton Barber is he just didn't do that much when he had the starting job. You know, I've already seen what he did as a starter, and it wasn't that great. So, like, he's not winning you your league, even if he gets the starting nod. Like, you're still kind of loath to start him. But, you know, same deal as anybody else. I do think he is the full-fledged backup, or at least RBBC with, I can't even remember who the other guy is, that they drafted. Ron, is that Ron Jones Jr.?
Yeah, Ron. RJ2.
Yeah, RJ2. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there we go. RJ Twizzles.
That's right. But also, a guy you and I have talked about, not on the podcast, we've talked about him offline. We both like Jordan Wilkins, the rookie drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. Jordan Wilkins is a guy that he's a high character guy that is one of those rookies that first at the practice, he's early to meetings. He just a bruiser between the tackles. And now that we know Nyheim Hines is going to be more relegated to return work, what if Marlon Mack doesn't work out?
I love this play. I love that call. Yeah, that was that call that I was looking for.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins, grab him in the 13th, 15th round of your draft. I think this is a guy that can really put his helmet down. And if Andrew Luck comes back and he's good, this is a league winner. This is Alvin Kamara. Not as dynamic, but this is the type of opportunity that we're looking for in our fantasy drafts.
Yeah, and you have two – he has two paths to starting. One is Marlon Mack just sucks. Could happen. Two is a lot of times when you have these guys who have never actually gone through the rigors of an NFL season, they just can't make it. Think Thomas Rawls a couple of years ago where, you know, it was, he looked good and he was going to get the job, but, like, he just couldn't stay healthy because – his body was not able to hold up. You never know with these young guys whose body is able to hold up to NFL punishment until we've seen it. So we saw it with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones last year. These rookies, you don't know who can hold up. For that reason, when you have an unestablished guy like a Marlon Mack looking like he's going to be the starter this year and get all those touches, and you're thinking, oh, that's great, he's got – Matt, we don't know that Matt can handle 20 carries in one game. He could get hurt. He could not last for three games doing that. So, and I'm not specifically talking about him as a player. I'm talking about any one of these young guys that has not gone through the rigors of a full NFL season. There's no way of knowing if they can handle it. We saw it with Foreman last year. We saw it with the Denver. We've seen it with the Denver running backs. This story is told over and over and over and over. How about Samaje Perine last year? Same shit.
Samaje.
Fuck Samaje. That guy. I hate that guy.
One guy I want to put on the radar screen right now for your listeners is everyone loves Gurley. He's our number one overall pick. You and I both agree. But for some reason, if it goes wrong, the Rams drafted a guy named John Kelly. This guy, click on his YouTube highlight. John Kelly is sick. I think Sean McVay, the coach, really knows and understands what he wants in his system. John Kelly is a guy in our dynasty drafts that we want to get in the third or fourth round. He's a guy that's going to be a waiver wire pickup at some point if Gurley goes down. So John Kelly, the running back that the Rams drafted to back up Todd Gurley, is a guy that's super deep. He's free. He's not getting drafted in most 20-round drafts that you could pick up or at some point add to your dynasty team that could be a dynamic runner.
I love it. I love that call. We're going to leave you on that note. So that was awesome. Thank you, season-long Cess, for coming on the pod with me today. We've got the running back position on lockdown. Article coming out on dfsarmy.com. over the next few days, really listing the running back rankings with notes and all that good stuff, tiers. And remember to sign up at dfsarmy.com as a VIP to get access to all of our rankings, all of our podcasts, all of our season-long content, daily fantasy content. We're crushing games every single week of the season. This past weekend, winners taking down first place in MMA, UFC. We've got winners taking out first place in MLB contests. I personally won a qualifier ticket to the Fantasy MMA Championships, and one of our other members won a ticket as well. Those are $1,500 tickets. It's awesome to be a part of the DFS Army. You're going to win in your season. We're going to help you win at your season-long games. We're going to teach you how to play daily fantasy sports, best ball, even handicapping in sports books, all that good stuff. So check out dfsarmy.com. Season Log says, thank you for coming on the show, and I will talk to you again next time where we will go over more season-long fantasy football stuff.
I agree. I appreciate you having me, and also I want to talk about Game of Thrones prequel coming out on HBO in 2020, I believe it is.
We need to do a whole podcast just on that.
I agree.
I can talk
about it. Miss you, brother. Can't wait to talk to you next.
No doubt. Take care, man.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.